Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I am very pleased to share with you this morning that my special guest is Landon Schott. Landon is the author of a very dynamic book titled Gay Awareness, Discovering the Heart of the Father and the Mind of Christ on Sexuality. Landon, good morning. Great to have you.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you.
I'd like to begin our conversation by asking, how did it ultimately come about for you to tackle the subject of homosexuality and to do so in written form?
You know, I grew up in Seattle. I was a pastor's kid, and I've always just had this draw towards the gay community. And, you know, I've just had a love for people in general, but God's Word. And I just noticed, just being raised in the church, just how many people I met that struggled with this particular temptation, and same-sex attractions, and how little the church actually talked about it. Mm-hmm. And then in my own ministry, I just began to minister to people from one-on-one, and then back around 2008, just began to publicly start speaking. And so many people would reach out to me and say, thank you so much for dealing with this. We did special television shows and webinars, you know, with young people that struggled and either came out of the lifestyle or was just walking in a life of holiness and just decided to be abstinent and just pursue a life of holiness. And people would reach out to me, I mean, years later from around the country and say, hey, I saw this video you did on YouTube. It's the only thing I found out there. Thank you so much. And I just saw such a big need for it. Mm-hmm. And mixed with, I just felt compelled by the Lord to begin to minister on this topic, and a three-year journey turned into the book.
Excellent. Well, I am personally very, very grateful for the entire content of your book. First and foremost, it is biblically based, but there's a lot of wonderful practical tools and application to help the body of Christ to be more effective in reaching to men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. So thank you so much for following the lead of the Holy Spirit.
It's my honor.
I'd like to ask you also, the very first chapter of your book is titled, I Love Gay People. For years, I've been traveling and challenging the church from time to time to see homosexual persons and homosexuality itself not just as an issue, but rather to see that this is really all about people, people whom God loves, and people for whom Jesus died. You agree?
Absolutely. You know, you look at John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and Jesus met her with grace and truth,
yes,
loved her unconditionally, didn't condemn her, confronted religious people that were coming against her. And after grace found her, he said, now go and leave your life of sin. And then he brought truth.
Yes.
And it's so important that we model what Jesus did, is that we love people unrelenting,
yes,
unwavering, no matter what they're dealing with, no matter what their sexual orientation, no matter what specific temptation it is, what sin they've committed. Jesus said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is unconditional. But yes. Relationship is different than love, and his relationship is conditional upon our behavior in our response to his love. So then he brought her truth and said, now go and leave your life of sin. You know, and I love the phrase, come to Jesus as you are. But an encounter with Jesus will change everyone.
Absolutely. I'm confident you would agree with me that as Christians, our textbook for life must be God's Word. And again, in my personal travels around the world speaking on this particular topic, I have always been very careful, and I remain careful, to share that really the crisis that we have faced, and I would submit the crisis that we continue to face in the world and the church as well, has really not been about homosexuality. The real crisis, as I see it, is the Lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. Now, obviously, you have studied this topic in length. Have you been able to find anywhere in the entire Word of God any positive statement about homosexual practice?
No, you won't. It's not there. And I mean, even atheists that are pro homosexuality and in freedom of sexuality, even the atheist scholars admit that there's nothing supportive.
Right.
In fact, it's all the opposite. You know, I've had this conversation so many different times with individuals, and I always ask them the same question. You know, I get attacked on social media on a daily basis. It doesn't matter how you say something; you could be as loving as possible in human ability, but if you say something that they disagree with, they'll call it hateful. And I'll just say, give me one scripture where Moses, Abraham, David, Paul, any apostle, any prophet, Jesus, endorses this lifestyle. And you know, there's always twisting and manipulating, but you know, Bible 101 is don't make confusing what the Bible makes completely clear. And Mr. Lee, this goes back to the enemy in the garden. Mm-hmm. And where does deception come from? What did he say to Adam and Eve? He said, did God really say?
Yes.
Did God really say, don't touch that tree, don't touch that fruit? No, that's not what he said. That's not what he meant. That's not what the Bible means. You know, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. It doesn't apply to us today. I mean, so you mean to tell me that God 2,000 years ago wasn't supreme enough to understand our humanity in sexuality and in our desires and temptation today? If he didn't understand it 2,000 years ago, he wasn't God.
Yes.
You know, and so the enemy always comes with the exact same attack. He did it in the garden, and he's doing it on social media today, and it's that, is did God really say? And the moment you begin to walk away from the validity of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, you're standing on your own, and you're not standing on the authority, which is the Word of God. And it has to be the lamp into our feet. It has to be the light into our path. We must hide His Word in our heart. It must be our daily bread. I say this all over the world when I'm ministering. You cannot respond to the enemy, it is written, when you don't know what is written.
Absolutely. I agree completely. I really believe today, Landon, that those of us that stand with the truth and the authority of Scripture on this subject matter. I know that today, if you stand with Christ Jesus and His truth on this subject, often you're labeled intolerant, hateful, a bigot, homophobic, but I would submit, really, those of us that are protecting the authority of Scripture and the Lordship of Christ, we're not only doing all of that, but we're also protecting God's character. You agree?
I do, and it's so interesting that the tactics that that people use. I have gotten, and I'm sure it's just a fraction of what you've gotten over the years, but in the last year that my book's been out, somewhere between the ballpark of 5,000 to 10,000 messages on social media attacking me personally, from death threats to whatever, and the majority of them when the book first came out. But now, you know, on a weekly basis, I'll get something. And it's so interesting that immediately I ask them, man, you're not that tolerant to other people's opinions. Man, you're not that accepting to anyone else's opinion but your own. And it's amazing that those that demand the most tolerance are the most intolerant. And the moment you just take a stand on God's word, you are hateful. You listed all the adjectives. There's so many more people add to that. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all these things about you.
Yes.
He says, because of me. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate us who are standing on Jesus' word, the authority of the Bible. And so this needs to be something that we expect. It doesn't make it easier. You know, I personally don't like being called names and attacked and, you know, having my family mocked and those kind of things. But it's worth it. You know, it's funny. I was just texting a friend of mine before I got on this radio interview. And a young man that leads worship at a church, loves the Lord, struggles with same-sex attractions, read my book, ended up meeting me in California, and just an amazing young man. He just texted me, he's like, hey, I want to come to Israel with you when you go to Israel this year. And he told me, he said, Landon, he said, I've never read a book that was non-gay affirming, non-affirming to the sexual practice, that was so loving. He said, thank you for writing such a loving book.
Mm.
And I'm just always reminded that despite how many people attack me or attack your listeners, that when they stand on truth, they are reaching people, and those people matter.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, again, this is all about people. You know, listening to you, I was recalling when you and I met and we sat face to face and talked about this. And let me encourage you at this point, given what you just shared, that I speak to this subject matter, as you know, professionally and personally. I've sat on the other side of the fence. It's been a little over 30 years that I surrendered my life to Christ. And when that occurred in my life, everything changed. But I remember very clearly to this day, my very, very last friend, when I was living in San Francisco, I had then moved ultimately to Bakersfield, and I would call him every once in a while on the phone. And little by little, we didn't have anything more in common, because all I wanted to talk about was the Bible and what happened at church. And he was still very much involved in what many refer to as the gay lifestyle. So he wanted to talk about last night's party. But I remember the very, very last phone conversation I had with him before he also tragically passed away with AIDS. He said, Philip, we don't understand what's happened to you. We don't understand this new direction in life that you are traveling. But you found something. And whatever you do, hang on to it. Don't ever, ever come back to this.
Wow.
That was absolutely huge. And thank God for his grace. I've continued on these past many, many years, keeping my eyes fixed on our author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. Because really, for the many, many men and women that I know around the world that have moved on, they have resolved their issue of same-sex attraction. Landon, I don't know of one individual, male or female, that has been able to complete that in their life apart from a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other thing that the guy said, I said, what did you like so much about the book? What stood out to you? And I'm not pushing my book. I'm just talking about conversation I had with this young man. I think he was around 24, 25. And he said, I love how your stories were real. There's, I don't know, around 20 stories in the book.
Right.
And every story, he said, didn't have a happy ending. He said, some of them, they're still battling. Some of them, they're daily picking up their cross. Some of them, they're just daily dying to their flesh.
Yes.
And he said, I love the honesty, he said, as you painted the pictures of these different individuals. Some experienced complete freedom, some in the process of freedom, and some of them still have these temptations, but they daily take them to the cross.
Absolutely.
And he said those inspired me the most. And it's amazing, you know, people ask, you know, I'm sure you've been asked this thousands of times, and I've been asked it more times than I can remember. You know, they say, Landon, am I going to have to struggle with this the rest of my life? And being a pastor for over 17 years, I get asked that not just about homosexuality, but I get asked that about just about any kind of temptation you could ever imagine.
Yes.
And what does the Bible say? And this is so important that we don't give people our two cents advice, but we turn them to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. The only thing you need to do is love Jesus today, follow Jesus today. A life of holiness is live one day at a time.
Absolutely. Let me take us in a bit of a different direction just for a moment. With Jesus as our perfect role model, anytime, really every time, that he challenged or confronted someone, which he did on a pretty regular basis, with Jesus as our perfect role model, every time he did challenge someone, he always did so with an equal balance of both truth and grace. Now, I know that you travel extensively. You're always, always on the go. So let me ask you, based upon your travels, how would you say we, the church, how are we doing in terms of following Christ's example in this regard?
You know what? I'm just going to be really honest with you. I feel like I can't make a generalized statement for everybody, but I feel like that the fear of man, the desire to be popular, the desire to be to have people like you, is causing the pendulum to swing out of balance, where we got the grace part down, and that's not for everybody, but a lot of people have the grace message down. But if you don't preach grace with truth, you will have lawlessness.
Right.
And if you preach truth without grace, you'll have legalism. And I understand that that's very real. You know, I had a young man tell me, he's like, hey, I cannot come out and tell my pastor what I'm struggling with. They'll kick me out of the church. And my advice to him is, bro, go find a different church. You know, go find, you know, and I don't know this pastor, so it's not personal, but be in a Holy Ghost, God-fearing, biblically-based community that loves people unconditionally and will walk with people through their stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's anything. But I feel like that first we're attributing to grace definitions that don't belong to grace. I found that we are calling things that the Bible refers to as mercy as grace because we don't know the difference.
Yes.
And so we have this grace gospel down, but it really turns into a license to sin gospel if you remove the fear of the Lord. There has to be the lordship. Jesus can't be our homeboy. He has to be our Lord. He has to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just like I said in John chapter 8, you know, Jesus constantly met people with grace, but then he did not lack truth.
Right.
And he told the woman caught in adultery the truth. He told the other woman at the well, you got five husbands at home. He told the man with the who was at the pool of Bethesda, stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. He told the rich young ruler, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. He told his disciples, are you going to leave too? When many disciples left him after the hard teaching of communion, eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Yes. Over and over and over, Jesus comes and lays the truth down in love, but he doesn't withhold truth. And I would challenge Christians, I would challenge pastors, that if you are not bringing truth, do you really love people or do you want them to love you?
Absolutely. And I think what we're beginning to talk about here is the very, very significant and real difference between acceptance and approval. We accept all people, but that does not mean that we are going to agree or approve of how they may be living. And this pertains not only to homosexual practice, but many other forms of behavior. And again, we come full circle once again that this is all about people. You know, it's very, very easy on this subject matter to still, even today, get stuck, if not bogged down, on the born that way theory, opinion, and or notion. Now, once again, Scripture does not support homosexual practice in any way, and I am very concerned, if not troubled, even today, that when I'm conversing with Christian men and women, and they have bought into, well, they're born that way, and that contradicts Scripture. We cannot support that particular opinion, if you will, from God's Word. And I'm concerned, once again, that so many within the church today are still traveling that road, that they're born that way. But would you agree there's no scripture to validate that?
You know, I'll put it like this. I cannot speak for someone else's experience. For example, the Bible says it doesn't matter how you were born, mm-hmm. that you must be born again.
Right.
So even if that is what they feel like is their natural disposition, it's not a biblical, godly disposition. Okay.
Right.
So I naturally lust after women. So if I don't guard my eyes, guard my heart, guard my flesh, deny myself, even if I'm married, I would fall into sin if I gave into how I was born. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, I could resist temptation, I can flee from immorality, and I can live a pure life. And it goes for any sexuality.
Yes.
We've made homosexuality in the church the one island unto itself where, well, you know, these people respond to their temptations differently. No, we all have to bring it to the cross.
Yes.
So we were all born with the sin gene. Maybe we didn't choose the sin gene. Maybe we didn't choose the temptation. But we all choose how we respond to temptation.
Exactly.
So I had a friend who says, Landon, I was born gay. I was born like this. This is the only desire I've ever known. But he's come to the Lordship of Jesus. He's now married to a woman, and what he's chosen to do is that he has denied everything that doesn't line up with Scripture, and he's going to embrace the blessings and the things that God has for him. Him and his wife have a thriving ministry. They both do ministry. They both grew up in gay and lesbian relationships. They both cut it off for years and lived a life of holiness, and God brought them together. Now they're married. They have a healthy relationship and sexual relationship, and they're doing ministry all over the world. And this came from a guy that told me, I was born this way. So he allowed the Holy Spirit not to change him, but he said this. He said, Landon, the more I fell in love with Jesus, the more I fell out of love of everything that didn't reflect him.
Excellent.
And so it's not behavior modification, but it's learning how to have the deepest, most intimate relationship with Jesus as possible.
Absolutely. I would submit, too, that as Christians, and let's pause just for a moment, when you and I, when anyone says that they are a Christian, we are literally saying that we are followers of Jesus Christ and all of his teachings, and therefore we take the Bible in its entirety or not at all. And the reality is that God created each and every one of us as sexual beings. Our sexuality is a very potent part of who we are. But once again, as Christians, when a theory, when an opinion, when a feeling or a notion contradicts Scripture, it should be rejected. Agree?
I do agree. And it doesn't come just to sexuality. That comes to lying. That comes to selfishness. That comes to pride, you know. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is natural. I was born to not forgive. I've been saved, you know, almost my entire life. I gave my life to the Lord at 3. I'm almost 34. So I've been walking with the Lord since I've been walking. But still, I don't want to forgive at times. Still, I try to justify unforgiveness. But guess what? Biblically, I can't.
Right.
Because if we don't forgive, we're not forgiven according to Scripture. So I can try to justify it till the sun goes down. But at the end of the day, I have to align my life with Scripture. And that's not just sexuality, but that doesn't exclude sexuality as well.
Holiness is across the board, isn't it?
It really is.
Once again, I will offer that this is a topic, again, that I speak to professionally and personally. And I got to tell you, Landon, the very first time I read your book, I was really, truly amazed because I knew, because you and I had met and talked, you are not an individual that's ever struggled with same-sex attraction, correct?
Correct. That has not been my personal temptation, which was a lot of confusion. I actually went on quite a few talk shows, and they're like, so this was your temptation? I was like, oh, no. a little confusing, because people say, how do you speak so well to a topic that you don't know anything about?
I see. But I am very, very grateful, once again, for what you have written, contained in your book, because I can relate to this personally. When I surrendered my life to Christ and I entered church for the very first time in my life, thank God for a senior pastor and an associate pastor, these two wonderful godly men, they had never read a book on coming out of homosexuality, never attended a conference or a workshop on this particular subject matter. But these two men took me under their wing, if you will, and they mentored me and discipled me and led me through a recovery process, if you will. They were larger than life role models. They themselves never, ever had any battle whatsoever in their lives with the boldness of same-sex attraction. And I'm offering that because I think sometimes today people think, well, I couldn't possibly help someone in this area of brokenness because I have never experienced it myself. And I challenge that.
I do too. You know, one of the ways I was attacked through social media was, you know, how can a white straight guy write a book on homosexuality? And my response is then that would say that no pastor could ever speak to anything that he's never gone through.
Yes.
Or that the Apostle Paul couldn't write two-thirds of the New Testament unless he's particularly struggled with those things. And in the book, one of my favorite chapters is a chapter on deliverance. And it's awesome because I didn't write a chapter on how to be delivered from homosexuality. I wrote a chapter on deliverance that's applicable to any sin.
Yes.
In fact, I've had so many young men that are bound in pornography geared towards heterosexual temptation, and I tell them to go read the book, and they look at me cross-eyed like, why are you asking me to read this book? And the reason I ask them to read it is because it's applicable to their temptation.
Mm.
This is how you walk out deliverance no matter what the temptation is.
There you go.
And so that's what we have to understand is it's not... The sexuality and homosexuality and same-sex attraction, it's not an island unto itself.
Right, right.
It, no matter what you're tempted with, we bring it to the cross.
Absolutely. Well, Landon, we are almost out of time. I wish we had much more time to continue our discussion. I would love to have you back sometime. I know you're a busy guy, but hopefully you'll consider that, and maybe we can reschedule once again to have you back on the broadcast.
Anytime. I am such a fan. I admire you so much. You're a hero in the faith for all that you do, and it's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, once again, the title of Landon's book is Gay Awareness, Discovering the Heart of the Father and the Mind of Christ on Sexuality. If you have not read his book, please get a copy and read it. You will be enlightened from beginning to end. Once again, at His Way Out Ministries, we continue to offer a variety of services, biblical discipleship, a variety of care groups, workshops and seminars, educational resources, and all of this information can be easily accessed by visiting our website, which is hiswayout.com. Again, thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll join us next Saturday as well, same time, same station. And until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.